of prayerful attention to Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 4. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Through the sparing mercy of our God, we have entered upon another year of our life. We know not what the future holds for us. My times are in thy hand. Peace, perfect peace, the future all unknown. Now, can you say this? Jesus I know, and he is on the throne. Are we entering this year alone, without God, without Jesus, without hope? Dead in a profession of religion, having a name and yet without the work of grace in our heart, appearing with and outwardly like the wise, and yet without oil in our lamps. My younger friends, how is it with you? My attention, not long ago, was drawn in a, to my mind, a remarkable way to the little word "and." A young person was asked concerning their progress, school, then was asked, and then what next? Employment, and yes, maybe marriage, and yes, maybe old age, yes, and what next? Death, and what next? There was no answer. Eternity, forever and ever. the 24th chapter in the book of Genesis has 67 verses. And 57 of those verses commence with the word "and." And. Onward. Step by step. That chapter, sweetly, blessedly, speaks of prayer and guidance, direction, the hand of God is so clearly seen. So, as we think of, yes, 1990, now is and 1991, are we venturing forward into the unknown without a God to go to, without prayer, perhaps determined to go our way? I pray God that if such there are here, and it was no thought of mine to speak in this way, that the Lord in his mercy may call you and show you your sin and lead you to himself and bless you with the blessings of our text. It may be said, it may be thought, that this is a text for old people. It speaks of our old age. It tells us of hoar hairs, but blessed be God. We're also directed to this in the previous verse of the God that carries his children even from birth, from the womb, through life, and even to your old age. What a striking contrast there is in this short chapter of those who put their trust in idols and not in God. Oh, it might be said, we do not bow down to idols. Friend, any trust in anything outside God surely is looking to an idol for help. Friend, we need to be very careful, lest we look with disdain upon those that are called heathen and are guilty of sin. God's children will not be strangers to idols, and they'll give us much pain, much grief, and we shall need much grace. The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. Bel and Nebo were gods in Babylon. Names such as Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar, bearing the names of their gods. They could not deliver in the time of danger. And God here speaks of these idols as they could not deliver. Were taken themselves, these idols, into captivity. Were loaded upon beasts. How the beasts groaned under their weight to carry them. And yet those idols were powerless to deliver and to help. They could not deliver and are gone themselves into captivity. But hearken unto me, says God. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. Jacob, as we think of a wrestling Jacob, Israel, thou hast power with God and hast prevailed. Spiritual Jacob, spiritual Israelites, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Oh, my young friends, as well as the older ones, can you say this as we read in the psalm this afternoon? Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Oh, what a favor when the Lord begins the work of grace in the days of youth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And so as our text speaks here of old age and hoar hairs, yet this word stands true for all God's dear children. From that time when they were born again, that work of grace began, right to the very end of the journey. To my mind, there's something very sweet and something very precious here in this word, even. It comes three times in our text. Even to your old age I am he. Even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. The compassion of God. As much as to say, poor sinner, I know your fears. I know your anxieties. I know the path you take. I know what is before you. I know your felt sense of weakness. I know how at times you may feel that all things are against you. But even, as it were, to comfort our hearts, to assure us that even in the darkest hours, the heaviest trials, the loneliest paths, the times of testing and perplexity and difficulty and maybe weakness and pain and bereavement and loss, even to your old age, I am he. For God says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. The hand of Almighty God. Now, that great God speaks to us, fear, and says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Even to your old age, even when you're beginning to sin, even when you are ready to perish, even when you are perplexed at the way in which the Lord is directing your steps, even if you, and at times may be brought to a place where there's no way forward, the Red Sea before you, the enemy behind you, the wilderness on every side, but there's something else, beloved, and that's the cloud, that pillar of cloud above you, the presence of your God. Though it seems there's no way out, stand still and see the salvation of God, and God will make the way. God will bring his people through. God will carry you through your troubles and your trials. I do not preach an easy religion. I do not tell you that your trials will lessen through this year. I do not tell you that the burden will grow lighter. It may grow heavier. Your need may be greater. Your path may be more lonely. Your faith may be more deeply tried. You may be more tempted as never before in your life. But what I would preach to myself and declare to you that the word of God, my friend, is this, that God is saying, even to your old age, I am he, and my grace is sufficient for thee. What a precious word that is in the psalm. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Even there, even those paths that are so mysterious, so strange, so perplexing, so difficult, but God will bring his people and he'll carry you through, friend. Even to your old age, I am he, even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Oh, the Lord again, speaking a little earlier in this chapter, says, I, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Now, real religion will bring you there. Thou, O Christ, art all I want, all in thee I find. To whom, dear Jesus, oh, to whom shall needy sinners flee, but to thyself who bids us come, our springs are all in thee. Is your religion bound up in the finished work and the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners? I, says God, even I am the Lord, and beside me that there is no Savior. But you say, oh, look at my sin, look at the filth, look at all my transgressions. But what does God say? I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Even to your old age. What a word. What comfort. What support. This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Another word comes now sweetly to mind. God speaking. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. So, friend, may our faith be strengthened. May we, like Paul, thank God and take courage. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Even to your old age, I am he. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever. ever thou goest. All words of sweet comfort, and this great word, I am He. The I am. The unchanging God, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God said to Moses, certainly I will be with thee. Who shall I say sends me? God says, I am that I am, Jehovah God. And here is our strength. The eternal God is our refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. O love that will not let me go. Those everlasting arms that have carried us and will carry. Yea, when we look back, as some of us humbly believe we may, to the work of grace begun in the days of our youth, through the changing scenes of life, we prove God in His faithfulness, God in His goodness. My times are in thy hand. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the mountains be removed, though all commotions of the world take place. Be still and know that I am God. Friend, how firm a foundation is found for God's dear children. What more can He say than to you He has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. I am He. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, yea, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Well-known words, a cluster exceeding great and precious promises. There are seven clauses there. And the center, the foundation upon which all rests is this, I am thy God. And here are three promises for the present moment. Fear thou not. And it's spoken personally. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Fear removed. The presence of God, and be not dismayed, be not paralyzed with fear, for I am thy God. Thy God has never failed thee, never will. But you say, what of the unknown future? But says God, I will help thee, yea, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of righteousness. How precious that word, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. I have often observed these little words in italics. They are inserted, rightly so, by our godly translators. But really we can read those words, thou art mine. The little word art is in italics. Thou mine. It's so sweet in the simple workings of my poor mind. I've seen in disgrace indescribable beauty in that. To me, it seems as though nothing could convey it more clearly, beautifully, wonderfully, of the love of God to his people. Thou, mine, the nearness of God to his people. The very present help that God is to his people. We find this in the well-known Shepherd Psalm. Only two words in that psalm are in italics. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's the little word is. Now you will not misunderstand me. I'm not in any way criticizing the version that we dearly love, the authorized version. It's right and God honored, and I seek none other. But I see in these simple thoughts something that is so very, very precious. Take that which I've just named. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, my shepherd. To me, it's the Lord God speaking to his fearing one, his trembling one, and saying, my child, and I would speak with care. Nothing more can be said. How close your shepherd is. He won't fail you. No one shall pluck thee out of his hand. You're so dear to him. He's loved you with such a love. He's laid down his life on that cross. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh friend, how precious this is then. What a come. And do you think, as you grow older, whether I speak to the young as I do in the days of their youth, and your responsibilities increasing, whether I speak as I do to those that bear the heat and burden of the day, and your responsibilities increasing, or whether I speak to those that are now coming into and have entered upon old age, and whilst there may be a retirement from business scenes, yet there's increased weakness of body, loneliness at times, peculiar fears, anxieties. Yet, my friend, I say, here is thy God, oh, that is speaking to thee, for even to your old age I am he, and to your poor hairs will I carry you. The other word in italics in that 23rd psalm is thou art with me, and it's again that little word art. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou with me. Oh friend, what a word, what comfort, what assurance. Oh, how the dear Apostle Paul could rest upon this, and may we too. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Take another word here. I'm trying to set before you, in my poor way, the nearness of God, so close. When all other helpers fail, when you feel to be so alone, thy God, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh friend, and what does that well-known hymn declare as it partly comes to mind, the soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, because he's carrying that one. He's bearing you up, isn't he? The soul that on Jesus, what a friend he is, what a loving shepherd he is, what a dear Saviour, my friend. I'm not speaking sentimentally, I'm speaking from my heart. I believe I know just a little of it. I want to know much more of it. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose. And as you come into older age, do you find, beloved, you're leaning harder than ever? Like, as I've named many a time, but I won't go into the details of that, dear godly minister Stanley Dells said this, I should die clinging to Christ. I feel as we grow older, the world gradually recedes. The things of eternity are very real. Christ is one thing needful. It's the blood. The blood, to be found under that blood. In that dread moment, oh, to hide beneath his sheltering blood, will Jordan's icy stream divide and land my soul with God. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Lord, may I see it too. Oh, may I see it, yes, but the soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, and it will, you'll be shaken, you'll be tossed. I don't say every day of your life, friend, but you'll know what it is. But you'll never be tossed off that rock. That's our mercy. Like the dear sailor said, yes, I shook, I trembled, I was afraid, but the rock didn't move, the rock didn't shake. That was firm. So, beloved, here it is. Oh, never, no, never, no, never forsake. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even, there it is, even unto the end of the world. I do not know whether I'm conveying what is in my mind and heart this afternoon. This word has been so precious to my soul, but I don't seem to be getting at it as I would desire. I do remember it was said of the old Mr. Kemp, the Biddenden one, he'd been so blessed, and when he started to preach from it, he couldn't get at it. And he said, friends, I've come with a sack full and I can't get the sack open. I know just a little bit what he meant. But I hope there's something pouring out, friend. I do pray that there'll be a blessing this afternoon and this evening too. It's not just to come because it's New Year's Day. We want something for our soul. We want something real. We're going into a year that we don't know what's in front of us. War! Rumour of wars! And, oh, look at the state of this country. Look at the state of the church generally, the nominal church. And look at the awful infidelity and all what we could say of drug-taking and immorality, blasphemy, broken homes, divorces, and all much sorrow, many burdens and loneliness of the way. Friend, we don't know what we're coming into, but, oh, are we coming into it with the very presence of God, that sustaining, supporting grace. I am he, I am changing God. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth, and this is our comfort. My mind now just goes to this. The Lord Jesus, you know, he constrained his disciples to get in the boat to go to the other side. He went up the mountain to pray, and the multitudes were sent away. And what a storm it was. What a night it was. As I once was led and heard a dear man say, they never turned the boat round. They kept trying to go on. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. It may be with you the fourth watch of the night. It may be so dark. You may feel you're alone. You may feel that he's forsaken you. But he saw them toiling in rain. He knows just what you're going through, poor sinner. And in his time, when you were brought to your weakness, when you were brought to your helplessness, when you were brought to your nothingness, he came. And there the ways beneath his feet, and it is I, thy Jesus, be not afraid, O friend, as he comes, when he speaks a word, when he says, as on the other occasion in the boat, and he stood and he just said those words, peace, be still. There was a great calm. And I believe we've known just a little of him. Just a little of him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, the rock of ages. This is the God, friend. The thing, the hand that formed the world, the earth, the sky, the sea, that hand once nailed at Calvary, that hand is holding me. Will I carry you? I have made. And I will bear, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, friend, what a word that is. Again, cast your burden on the Lord, for he shall sustain thee. Doesn't say that he'll roll it off. Sometimes he's pleased to do it. It may be a heavier burden to be loaded on the burden already there. We've known a little of it. When trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud, he near my soul has always stood. His loving kindness changes not. Joseph is not. Benjamin is not. Or you want to take Benjamin? Simeon is not. All these things are against me. But he shall sustain thee. Because though the burden is heavy, though you're crushed at times under the load, though you feel so insufficient and lack the wisdom and knowledge and neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee, yet, friend, there, I say, is sustaining grace. And it may not be such a massive burden. It may be something that's small, and that is harder to bear than anything. I often have thought of the thorn in the flesh of dear Paul. We don't know what it was. It may have been something physical, as it is often thought. We can leave that. But comparatively, when you think of what he went through, the shipwrecks, the stoning, the prisoning, and the stripes and so forth, but it seemed to me that the dear man just couldn't seem to overcome, bear this thorn in the flesh. It was painful. And he besought the Lord three times to take it away. But God says, no. But Paul, there's something greater than your thorn. My grace is sufficient for thee. And something even greater still, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That, to my mind, is wonderful. I will carry it. Carry you with all your burdens. Carry you with all your trials. Carry you right the way through. And surely the picture here is, as we view this word, our mind is directed to the eagle. A beautiful word in Exodus. As the Lord speaks there, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. What a word. Carrying you through, friend. Again, we read in Deuteronomy of how the Lord leads his people, and how that the Lord's portion is his people, and Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Look at it. Found, led, instructed, kept. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. The eagle known for its strength. We are told how that when the young may flutter, the parent bird will fly beneath to bear it on its wings. Friend, here is our God. And oh, here is that support. Here is our God that will never fail his people. I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Another thought just comes to my mind here. Carried by God, born. As you think of the eagle, as you turn to that 40th chapter of Isaiah, speaking of the majesty of God, and he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He carries them in his arms. We are reminded there, my mind just now goes to the high priest of old with the stones upon his shoulder, God's people carried, and the breastplate, the stones near his heart, the place of love and affection and protection, the sheep, then the lamb that is gathered in those arms of love, never to be lost and never to perish, and will deliver you. Who hath delivered, in who doth deliver, in whom we trust, he will yet deliver us. Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Perhaps the devil's got hold of somebody, tempting you. You're in a situation that you cannot see a way out. And the devil says, now where's your God? There's no hope for you. And yet, my friend, the Lord will appear for thee. My God, says Daniel, hath shut the lion's mouth. And the three Hebrew worthies. And the king says, who shall deliver you out of my hand? Who shall deliver you out of that furnace? It is seven times hotter than it's wont to be heated. But what did they find in the fire? Mark, they were put in it. If it had pleased Almighty God, he could have made a way where they were not even cast into that fire. But no, they were cast into it. They were bound. And mark this, the spark of the fire slew the strongest men of those army. Woe unto those who touch God's people. But I say, the presence of Jesus, the form of the fourth, was like unto the Son of God. Deliver you. Dear Paul could speak later in life, all have forsaken me, Notwithstanding, God stood with me and delivered me from the mouth of the lion. And when he's in trouble, says God, I will be with him. I will deliver him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And even to your whole old age I am he. Even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Friend, we read of being compassed with songs of deliverance. Our God will carry his children right through to glory. Reading that most solemn teaching of Jesus about the rich man and that beggar. The beggar, as he was died, was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. That bosom of Abraham signifies heaven. Carried through death, supported, brought through to glory at last. I close being reminded of that godly man with his dream. He saw his life as footprints in the sand, two sets, God with him, but as he looked closer, at times there was one. And as he perceived it, it was those seasons when he was in trouble. He was perplexed. Lord, did I tread that path alone? Didst thou leave me there? No, my child, I carried thee. I carried thee. The Lord bless his word.